Deegan Aiken is ready. Here's his pitch.
Yeah, this is awesome. Like I said, I'm just really enjoying playing meaningful baseball here in Boston.
And he swings and drives one to left. High and deep.
It's awesome. Like I said, it's just a dream come true.
And this ball is long gone. A walk-off home run. Tyler O'Neill.
I just want to ride that energy throughout October.
And the Red Sox have won it.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon. Welcome in WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, and you with us here all afternoon. We're here until a little bit after 6 o'clock. On this Thursday, the 12th of September. Welcome in, everybody. Nice to have you with us here today. We'll be joined by Tom E. Kern at 3:30. We've got a lot to get to here. We're kicking open the door. It's been a lot. Very heavy Patriots and Red Sox this week. We're starting Red Sox today. However, we are going to be going into a couple of the winter sports today, Andy Hart. We're going to be talking some Bruins. We're going to be talking some Celtics, which we haven't. I don't remember the last time we even mentioned the Celtics. Have we mentioned the Celtics once as a show? Have we even mentioned them? I don't think we have.
I do not believe we have, but seeing as I heard that yesterday was something like the last time the sun sets after 7 p.m., we're trending toward darker nights and winter.
Yes.
The winter sports season may not feel like it's here, but it's right around the corner. So it's probably appropriate that and by the way, they're two pretty interesting teams right now.
They are. They certainly are. One of them reigning champions, the other stuck in a standoff right now with their goaltender, and did make some moves this offseason, which I liked, by the way. We'll get into all of that when we switch gears a little bit later on. But I wanted to start with what you just heard there. That was the Red Sox last night, a fun night at Fenway Park as they come alive in the 10th inning with a walk-off home run. Tyler O'Neill, who's been hitting home runs every other at bat, it seems like, over the last couple days here, helped the Red Sox survive. With 16 games left, they don't gain any ground. That's the unfortunate part. I heard Keefe and Jones talking about this just a minute ago, but they don't gain any ground with this. They end up really just sort of treading water. They still remain 4 games back. They still remain behind the Detroit Tigers. Basically, everybody won last night. We now are in the final days of what you could consider survivability here. I think that if you get to be, like, if they had lost that game last night, we wouldn't open Red Sox today, except to say it was fun. You know, it was a cute little season, really, really tough second half. It's over. I know I said it was over a long time ago, but mathematically, I think still 4-16 is something that you can look at and say, okay, well, if they go 10-6, that's something. If they go 12-4, that's something. If they're 13, you know, if they have a great stretch down at the end here and they end up sweeping the Twins and all this other stuff, then maybe you could see them coming to get. If they're 5 games back behind 2 teams, forget it. I mean, that's you're not coming back from that. The fact that it's just the one team, well, really 2 if you consider, you know, the Tigers and the Royals there. Those 2 teams, 4 games, 16 to go. What do they have to do? What sort of numbers are we looking at here in these last 16 games? How many losses can they afford?
4. I mean, is it crazy to say they have to go like 12-4?
No.
Something like that? And I don't even know if that would work because
it might have to be like 14-2, honestly.
Right, yeah. All the permutations that are in there. But forget about how realistic it is that they're going to make the postseason. Can we just start with, I have this stupid Andy Hart rule.
Mm-hmm.
Sports are entertainment.
Right.
Correct?
Oh, yeah.
So was that entertaining last night?
That's an Andy Hart rule?
Yeah, like, I think we forget that it's pursuit of championships and it's big business and all these things. It's nightly entertainment or it's weekly entertainment.
Right.
So entertain me first. All the other stuff can come later, and I want it to come later at least some of the time. Pursuit of titles and championships and all of these things, win the division, go to the playoffs. But when I tune in to either NESN or WEEI on a Wednesday night in September, entertain me. And part of entertain me is what Cora has talked about. These are meaningful games.
Sure.
They may not mean anything in the end, but right now they feel meaningful.
They mean something right
they
now, of course.
They still have meaning, right? What they may not count, as Gerard Mayo said, but they matter. Remember when he said that about the preseason? They don't count, but they matter.
Right.
These games may not end up counting because you may not end up getting into the postseason, so really, what did they mean? No, but they matter, and they feel like they matter. And that was an atmosphere last night where you walk off that was exciting and entertaining. It's a little bit like the Patriots last week. Thankfully, I think we've finally put away the days of expectation and entitled town and expect, you know, like wake up.
I don't think that's gone yet.
Oh, it's
I don't
absolutely
think so.
Gone with the Patriots, and it's a good damn thing because that, was what made Patriots fans the worst, when it was only about the Super Bowl and nothing else, and you couldn't be entertained on a random Sunday. Like, we were recording the Six Rings today, doing our live, I don't know how we do it, StreamYard or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We had fans chatting, and some guy was like, you're kind of right. I used to fall asleep sometimes in the third quarter of a Patriots game. This week was probably not as good a game as some of those games, but I didn't fall asleep because I didn't know what the hell was going to happen. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if Joe Burrow was going to come back. Team's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're back with the Red Sox and the Patriots, where good games, good events, good one-offs can be enjoyed. It doesn't have to lead to the postseason. It can be enjoyed for a Wednesday night in September where Tyler O'Neill hit a bomb that was freaking awesome and the lights were and they're squirting them with water and it was all fun.
That was fun.
Right?
It was a fun night, absolutely. But they also had a 5-game losing streak just a couple weeks ago that put them out of contention. You know what I mean?
Like, why we got to go there?
Because that's the reality of what we're talking about here. We can't just sit in dreamland and act like every close game is somehow important. Now, at this point, only 4 games back, that's nice. It's good for them to be entertaining, sure. But if they had won that game last night 15-1, that would have been just the same for me as if they won on a walk-off in the 10th inning.
Sure.
Like, that's
that
right now. All you got to do is win games. Like, really, that's what it's about. It's about winning games. If they had gone to extra innings and they got back and forth and then ended up losing to the Orioles, yeah, we're not coming in here today talking about, oh, what an entertaining game that was.
Well, no. I want to be entertained in a winning way.
Okay, well,
I don't want to be entertained in a losing way.
The main thing
although
there
they could
is the
do
winning.
That.
Yes.
I mean, they could make history and do things and play a certain style. There's different ways to entertain me as a fan, but a walk-off win, whether it leads to the playoffs or not, was entertaining. You still got juice out of that, right?
Definitely.
It was definitely buzz, and not just because you bet on it.
You
or
heard the call
something.
There. I mean, yeah.
Right.
And everybody was talking. Cora after the game. Jackson, if we have this, Cora after the game was talking about this being the beginning of something, which is a weird thing to say on September 12th. But if it's the beginning of something, now is a good enough time as any to start it with a series in New York, Tampa, Minnesota coming up, and then Toronto and Tampa again. And that is it, my friends. That's the whole season. Here's Cora after the game.
We've been pitching, which is awesome, you know, and hopefully at one point we start hitting again. Grind out the game, and we took advantage of one mistake, and Tio put a good swing on it. So we obviously needed this one. Hopefully it's the beginning of something big.
Hopefully it is. The pitching is holding
Monday
up.
Monday was the beginning.
Well, it was.
Then Tuesday came.
Tuesday happened, and then Wednesday, it's a new beginning. It's a
hopefully
new beginning.
Hopefully, it's the beginning of something big.
Every other day is basically a new beginning here. This is significant, I think, starting tonight. You got four games, with the Yankees. You're getting Cortez. You're getting Schmidt, who just came back from being on the IL with not even that big of an injury, but he was out all year, basically. You got Garrett Cole on Saturday. You got Rodon on Sunday. You're getting all their big hitters there in the starting rotation, except for Stroman. And you got, you know, Criswell, Houck, Bayo, and Crawford. That's it. I mean, you're getting your best guys out there. They're getting most of their best guys out there. It's in New York. It's much more important to you than it is to them. They're all set in terms of their playoff spot. They do want to win the AL East, but I have a feeling that this is going to be one of those series, win or lose, that I would hope that the Netflix cameras come back for. I know they've been gone, but like if you're telling the story of this season, you've already missed a bunch of stuff, by the way. And I like those Netflix guys. We met some of them over the course of the year interviewing Cora down at Fenway. But if they're going to be back, I think you got to be back for this. It's the Yankees. It's the Bronx. It's do or die right now. And there's a couple of games that are going to be. I think the game tonight's on Fox. You got an Apple TV game on Friday, and then Sunday the game's on ESPN. So, I mean, you got all sorts of eyeballs on this one. It's not the rivalry that it used to be back in the day or anything like that. No one's going to mistake it for that. But in terms of the urgency of the season and everything else, Red Sox, Yankees, doesn't really get too much better than this.
And from a Netflix perspective or that narrative perspective, it's an easy transition.
By the time the Red Sox got to a key series right. with the Yankees in September, their life was on, you know, that type of thing.
But I feel like there's a little bit of an uptick in the rivalry. Remember there was that game where Verdugo was yelling and then Devers was yelling. They had that whole thing going on and there was a little bit of like, oh, is this a little old school juice that we're getting back in this rivalry? And if these games
Why
can
don't I remember this? I don't remember this at all.
Oh, it definitely
Verdugo
happened.
Was yelling at Devers who was yelling
No,
at...
I don't know what. Verdugo pimped something maybe. I think Verdugo homered. He pimped it.
He homered and ran around the bases like a pimp pretty much. And kind of like, you know, pointed at them and kind of showboated
the bases. And then Devers returned the favor a little bit later. And it just kind of... There was a little bit of an edge.
He was like pounding
building.
His chest and running around. I do remember that.
There was
now.
A little edge. Yeah. And it was like, huh, are we bringing some of this back? And I would love for some of that to come back. And if you can play games right now that obviously not for the Yankees, but this is meaningful to the Red Sox. Therefore, if you kind of get a couple wins or do your thing, I just feel like there could be a little bit more buzz to this series than we've come to, certainly more than last year. Remember last year it was all about whatever they were, $1 tickets or $2 right. tickets or,
oh, yeah.
or a little opposite that end of the spectrum.
I remember in 2021 when they were making it to the ALCS, they were giving away tote bags. Right? Remember they were giving away L.L. Bean tote bags and Roombas and all this. Like, it's like when you're on a game show and you don't win the grand
parting
prize
gifts.
And they give you a bunch of parting gifts. That's basically what they were doing for any fan who bothered showing up. And that was a year that they made it to the ALCS. They were still trying to get people in. They backed into the playoffs that year. And since then, it's been even worse. So, yeah, I think at this point, I mean, these games are in New York, so we probably won't be getting that until they come back. I think when the Red Sox come back, when does this homestand start? Yes. All right. So they have Minnesota at home starting on the 20th, and they close out the season at home on the 27th. The other series are all on the road. So you only got six more opportunities to see these Red Sox in the regular season. And if the postseason happens, then we'll take it from there. But yeah, this is it. This is a big one. This is where it all sort of rubber meets the road here this weekend. And the fact that it's the Yankees, I think, makes it that much better. We'll see if there's any bad blood with guys like Verdugo or, Garrett Cole's a dink. Like there's guys you don't like on that team. But in general, I'd say it's not the old rivalry by any means.
No, not even close, but maybe trends just more in an upward direction. Going back to last night, the way they won obviously is entertaining, dramatic, cool. The way the game played out, did you like it? Were you like, did it feel like a good spark? Because like, remember yesterday I said,
I thought they blew it. Santander hit the home run. I was like, oh, God, like, here we go again.
Keep the ball in the ballpark.
Took the lead in the 10th, and it was just like, all right. I always assume that the away team's going to win when it goes to extra innings. I always assume that. It just, to me, it seems like, okay, they're going to have their first chance at it. They got a guy on second base. It always seems like the away team wins these extra inning games. So it was nice to see that not happen. But, they had a lead, and the pitching held up. This pitching's been holding up great lately. And Cora told us that yesterday. Like, he's very impressed, and everybody should be, with the way the starting pitching's kind of picked it back up. Because this is the time of year, and we talked about this. Can't they get guys who don't fall apart in August and September?
Right.
Your starting pitching's not doing that. Your hitters are. Except for Tyler O'Neill, who's hitting everything. But other than that, the rest of your lineup is basically in the toilet. And your starting pitchers deserve better than this. And that was another example of it again last night. You had Greg Weissert picking up the win there because the Red Sox couldn't hold that lead down for Nick Pivetta, who I thought was very, very good. 9 strikeouts in 6 innings, 1 earned run on 4 hits, and just a 1 walk. Like he was dynamite in that game, I thought.
And is there any other statistical indication of how bad your lineup is than the guy you just said is hot, hitting the ball out of the ball? Park at home as a right-handed hitter, something Cora has lusted after.
Right.
Tyler O'Neill, 30 home runs, 59 RBI. Like, wait a minute. You only have 29 RBI other than hitting yourself in via the home run?
Right.
That's an eye-opening and borderline alarming number.
It
for
is.
A team that's supposed to have, as Cora said, one of the best lineups in baseball. You're supposed to have one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball. In Jaron Duran, you have a guy like Devers hitting ahead of you, and this poor guy's got 59 RBIs on 30 home runs. That's not good.
Yeah, I'll take the 30 home runs.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
370
when you have 30 home runs,
bats.
You're supposed to have 120 RBIs.
But yeah, I mean, he's played 30 games less than Rafael Devers. He has more home runs than him and less RBIs, obviously. But the fact that he's been that productive with the amount of time that he's missed, it tells me. And this is a guy who's a free agent at the end of the year, by the way. And I don't know. I mean, you want to keep looking these gift horses in the mouth here, these right-handed power hitters who you just let come and go every year, like. I'd be okay with them sticking with one after a while.
Isn't he like 107, though?
No, he's 29.
Oh,
Tyler O'Neill.
He's a little older than that.
He's injury prone, so I mean, you know, he's
jacked.
He's definitely ripped. No question about that.
Not a lot of pliability in his workouts.
Wouldn't say that, but that's okay if you're hitting 30 home runs in 370 at bats or whatever it is, which is substantially less than Rafael Devers, who has fewer home runs. So, I mean, that's kind of the point. Is like, and I heard, I heard Jones and Keefe talking about guys they've had over the years, like Adam Duvall, like Justin Turner, Hunter Renfro, these right handed power
Renfro
bats in the outfield who come and go. I mean, 20 home runs, 25, 30 home runs, and then they just let them walk out the door, and then they wonder the next year why they don't have any right-handed
right.
power at Fenway Park. I mean, this is a problem that keeps popping up here with this team.
This feels like a Renfro one, except Renfro you traded, right?
Right, for Jackie Bradley
right.
Jr.
Like, what are we doing there?
And other people, but he was part of the trade.
Yeah, you absolutely should keep him. I don't know why I thought he was a little older. I thought he was like 35.
Mm-mm. 29.
Good for him. Keep him.
Keep him. And listen, I mean,
I'll take right-handed bats that hit 30 home runs at Fenway Park. He's more valuable here than anywhere else. Correct?
You don't have to give him Juan Soto money either.
No.
I mean, we're not talking about some big giant contract. We're talking about keeping a guy around who's proven to be productive in this ballpark. And by the way,
plus he's got like 6 home runs this week or 5 home. So yeah, he fits our criteria of guys that don't fade in August. And, well, he kind of faded in August, but September he's back.
Yes, he is back in September.
He had that hellacious slump for a while.
Yeah, August he hit 159 with, let's see, 3 home runs and 5 runs batted in. He played a lot of games. He played most of the games that year, yeah, or that month, I should say. And it was an ugly month, to be sure.
But September's, yeah, where it's at.
September, it's all coming back. 313, he's got the 5 homers, 9 RBIs already, which is both of those better than what he had the entire last month of August. So, yeah, I'm all in on Tyler O'Neill here. I think this team has to be as well. They don't play a lot more home games. As I told you, it's split back and forth there, so it would be nice to see him go out and do that on the road, and other guys picking up the slack as well. This offense certainly needs it, and the pitching certainly deserves it, because again, that was a very strong performance from Pivetta. Crawford, I thought, was good. Bayo's been good lately. You don't really have a weak link in your rotation right now, and that's not a lot of opportunities this year where the Red Sox could say that. You know, this is a time where if you can't capitalize on your rotation looking like this, I hate to tell you, and I hate to put it this way, but Giolito coming back next year I don't think is going to be some big savior. And you don't have anybody else coming up in the system, and I don't think they're going to spend any money on any blockbuster names. So this is what you have. And if they can pitch like this, they should be supported, is my point.
100%.
Yeah.
And you also next year will probably put away the fears or the bulk of the fears about the season getting long, the
right,
innings getting high. Like, all these guys are kind of finding a way. I'm not saying they're at their best right now. Like, Tanner Houck is not at his best,
right,
but he's putting acceptable performances out there for you. We talked about Cutter Crawford with 30 starts. Like, you're kind of getting the innings and the effort late in the year that, yeah, you want out of these guys. Because we had, remember, we were, here's a shock, we were sort of projecting negativity like 2 weeks ago talking about, well,
I don't recall doing that. I don't recall projecting negativity.
You do it often. I tried talking about entertainment. You're talking about losing last week, last month,
person,
last year.
I don't know.
But we were talking about, at what point do you pull the plug on Devers? Do you start to say, oh, these young pitchers, let's not waste the bullets in their arms? You know, that kind of, and
yeah,
it's the opposite of that. They're still at least flailing in the quicksand and staying afloat for,
yeah,
now.
And that's been their thing, you know, the River Monster.
Right.
Like, that's been
their teases.
The
their
entire
big
season
old teases.
Long. That's been it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will take your Red Sox calls here. We also have some thoughts on the Patriots we'll get to in a little bit. The Red Sox at Fenway have not been great. A little concerned about the fans and the home field advantage, something else I want to get into as well. But I want to get into the Red Sox philosophy, because Alex Cora with us yesterday talked about how important these games are in September, how good that is for the youth. And the Red Sox, I believe, have made this season about planning for the future more than they have about trying to win now. And I just want to discuss the pros and cons of that, because I think they could have done both. I think they really should have done both. And now we're in a position here where it seems like if they had just tried a little harder to make both of those things happen, or maybe lean a little bit more towards winning now, you could be talking about a deep playoff run instead of on the outside looking in, which is where they still are today, despite that fun win last night. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Brian Frizzoco here to tell you what's trending, and we'll get to Cora when we come back.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Boston Red Sox earned a series win over the Baltimore Orioles last night with a win in extra innings. Tyler O'Neill walked it off for the Sox with a 3-run home run to give the Sox a 5-3 victory. Despite the win, the Sox still remain 4 games out of the third wild card spot. Tonight, the Red Sox head to the Bronx to take on the Yankees in a 4-game series, and we will have the call for the game for you right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch tonight is at 7:15 with Cooper Criswell on the bump for the Sox and Nestor Cortez on the hill for the Yankees. Our coverage starts at 6:15 with the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Weil. Patriots were back in practice today ahead of their Week 2 matchup against the Seattle Seahawks. Patriots lineman Sidy Soh, who missed Sunday's win over the Bengals, did not participate in practice. NFL Week 2 kicks off tonight with a battle in the AFC East as the Buffalo Bills head to Miami to take on the Dolphins. You can listen to that game on WEEI AM 850. Westwood One's coverage will begin at 7:30. I'm Brian Frizzoco. Your next trending in about an hour.
Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. We're here with you until the MassMutual pregame show, just after 6 o'clock. as the Red Sox take on the Yankees, a very series that I think a lot more so than any other series this year. I think Red Sox fan, you're going to see some numbers here. You're going to see some numbers on the TV side. I think this is going to be a very well-watched series.
Except for tomorrow, because it's an Apple game.
That's true.
And then I'm like, I don't have Apple.
Forgot about the Apple game.
You sucked
I can't
a lot
believe,
of payments
I can't believe they're
me.
Doing an Apple game.
Right?
Oh, man. Forgot about that.
I bought it to watch the stupid Dynasty. Then mm-hmm. you got those few extra months out of me where I forgot to cancel it, and I didn't think of it until I saw it on the cable, on the credit card bill. Then I finally canceled it. You're not getting me back.
I don't know what my Apple situation is.
See, that's the worst.
Because I definitely had. I watched the Dynasty on it.
Yeah.
My wife might have a subscription for it, maybe. But I don't know if we still do. I'm not sure. She initially got it to watch Ted Lasso, which, by the way, I hate that show. I think Ted Lasso is the worst show.
You
of
are
all
the
time.
First person I've ever
I
heard.
I've never
care.
Heard anyone say anything bad no, about that show. I haven't
show,
seen it personally.
I haven't
but
either.
I've
but
never heard
everybody
anyone
loves
say something bad
the
about
first
it.
Episode of that
it's
show.
Typically such a hater.
The first episode of that show. There's this scene where they're on a plane, right? And Ted Lasso is sitting in front of his assistant coach, who looks like Louis C.K. And he's sitting there, and he turns to his coach, and he goes, "Hey, like, if we see each other in our dreams during the flight, let's pretend like we don't know each other." And I was like, "What the hell is this?" Like, what is the show? What is it supposed to be? And I gave it a chance. I watched like four episodes, and I could not get into it. I really couldn't. And I tried. I wanted to like it. I like Sudeikis. You know, I thought it was a good premise for a show. A football coach, coaching soccer overseas. I could not stand it. I honestly could not stand it.
Wow.
I thought it was a very bad show.
You're definitely the first I've heard say negative things about it. Although Harvey V. What the hell is that? Hervey V,
like Hervey Villachez, like what's his name? Tattoo from Fantasy Island, wasn't that his name?
That was his name?
Hervey Villachez.
Okay, well, he says Ted Lasso sucks too, so you
Thank
got
you.
A an alliance there. But no, the only thing that I think could hurt the ratings, I agree with you, is an Apple TV game, which is what makes the NFL's ratings from week one even more remarkable, that they were up X percent, where they've continued to add places to watch games, and everybody's like, do I have Peacock? Is that game only on Peacock? How do I watch that game? But yeah, I'm excited for this series. I don't think you can't be excited. You already did.
For Yankees Red Sox?
You already dead and buried them.
Yeah, I did.
So
I still think
you're
dead and buried because it's going to be an exciting series because there's a lot on the line here.
But what's on the line if they're dead and buried?
Well, I mean,
if they're dead and buried, there's nothing on the line.
I know, but I still think that it's, in my opinion, that's what they are. Mathematically, they're still alive. I can be proven wrong, and I'd be happy to be proven wrong. I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs, but this is still an exciting series. That was an exciting game last night, right? Aren't we talking about the excitement?
Damn entertaining.
Of course. So this could be an entertaining series, and I like a Red Sox-Yankee series with something on the line. If they were mathematically eliminated, then I wouldn't care about this series. But there's definitely something on the line here, and the Red Sox have to play desperate. So that's something I'm interested in.
Going back to the Cora comment, and this is we'll come back to the reason we played the comment. But when I was listening to it, my mind drifted to Cora would play Drake May because he's like, these are meaningful experiences, like talking about down the line. And
yeah.
We've debated for weeks and weeks.
He's talking about the end of the year, but yeah.
Yeah. So Cora would definitely okay, so maybe that's fair. Cora would definitely have Drake May in at some point this year to get these experiences that would pay off down the road.
I would think so, yeah.
Right, like, that's the transformational part. But they're his team. These guys are ready.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are contributing.
One other difference,
it's not
though.
Just the young players who are sucking. The slumps, you can't just blame on the young players.
No, you can't.
Okay.
Rafael Devers is a veteran player in this league, you know? Even
you
the,
think the $313 million player is
Jaron Duran is 27, 28 years old.
Right.
I mean, he's new to the majors, but he's not a young kid.
Tyler O'Neill's 29, as we all know.
Right. And, you know, guys like Rafael and Willy Abreu, like the actual young guys on this team, it is important for them, and I think that that's fine. But the question here is, when you're a team that's planning for the future, when you're a team that's, and this is why I don't love the Drake May analogies, because Drake May was the third overall pick. He's supposed to be the centerpiece of the whole team. They expect that to happen for him. With the Red Sox, their reliance on young players is, in my opinion, and I think this is pretty clear at this point, more a financial thing. It's more, all right, we're going to get these young, cheap players here. We're going to reset. We're going to reset our books and all that. And instead of putting big contracts out there and making big trades for guys that we're then going to have to give big contracts to, we'll just bring these young kids along. This number, and they have a good farm system right now. The farm system's the envy of most of the league. And they have the number one prospect in all the land and all this other stuff. I mean, it's a good situation that they're in right now. But they're not really so much interested in the balance of it. that I think Theo did a good job with. And even Dombrowski to a lesser extent. I thought he gave out big contracts, but he did build up the farm much more than people give him credit for. And I don't think that that balance exists anymore. I think that's out the window. I think right now they're leaning so far into the young players and into what Cora was just talking about, getting experience for these guys. And, you know, the Rafaelas and the Abreus of the world, and hoping that Anthony and Meyer and the rest of these guys, Teal, will all be ready next year, which I hope they are, by the way. If they're not, if we need another year to wait before these guys can come up and contribute in the majors, that's just pushing everything off another season, isn't it? Like, I'm ready for them to start trying to win now, and I don't know if they're ever going to go back to that.
Well, they haven't of late, right? Like, that's a fact. They just haven't done that in recent years. But I don't know if the timeline was as obvious to do that. Because I think this team overachieved a little bit. I think maybe maybe there is some organizational regret. I don't know if they would ever admit that maybe they didn't build enough around the young players. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't know Duran was going to take a certain step forward. Maybe they didn't know Rafaela was going to be this good, right? Rookie of the Year candidate level play. Abreu, maybe they didn't think he was going to be quite as good. Now, the flip side of that would be, but you probably thought Casas was going to be more than he's been.
Yeah, for sure.
And you probably thought Trevor Story was going to be more than he's been. So maybe that balanced out, and then you would have been where you are now and would have regretted not investing more in the offseason. So that's a fair criticism and complaint for the obvious way they've gone about their business. Mm-hmm. The question is it going to change? This is where you and I have the great divide.
Yeah.
Optimistic Andy goes one way. Cranky Arcand goes the other way. And optimistic Andy thinks they're going to supplement this roster in the offseason. I think they have to. I think they absolutely have to. I think there will be backlash.
Supplement it with what?
Talent.
In what position? Veteran, like I'm saying, where? Like,
a right-handed bat.
Okay.
And a top-of-the-rotation pitcher.
That's expensive, both of those things.
Yeah, I don't care if it's expensive.
I don't either, but
you're not paying anybody.
You're
supposed to be the 49ers because you're going to have all these star players, the Brock Purdy, right? We mentioned that the other day. We saw the graphic.
The whole roster's Brock Purdy.
Like, you have a bunch of Brock Purdies, so spend somewhere else, and then at some point you're going to have to make tough decisions, right? If you nail all these guys and they are all good, yes, we're going to turn back the clock to when it was Bogarts, Devers, and Betts, right?
Yeah.
Can you keep all three? You can't keep all three. Which are you going to get? And then you kind of dragged your feet and kept the last one. I don't know if it was the best one. I'm sure people might have different views on who they should have kept out of that trio. You nail all. The hell was that?
Yeah, what just happened there?
That was my bad. I was editing a piece of audio,
and
I put it on the air. Like,
I appreciate
okay.
it.
Don't worry about it.
Should be editing my words. They need to be edited at times.
Someone's got to do something.
Clean
about
it up a little.
Well, I was making this.
They're teases. They're teases.
Okay.
As they used to have Ortiz. Now they're just teases.
Right. By the way, the odds for Rookie of the Year right now, according to FanDuel, your leader right now is Austin Wells in the Yankees.
Yeah.
Then Colton Cowser, who was, I think, the same draft class as Meyer. Then Luis Gil, who I think has been in the league 3 years but is somehow still a rookie. And then Willy Abreu, who's way dropped down in the odds after that. Austin Wells, -115. Cowser's +115. Gil is +850. And Abreu's 3,200. The three ahead of your one guy are all AL East guys, and two of them are on the Yankees, a team that spends. So you can do it. I mean, you can do this. You can balance this if you want to. And the Red Sox have decided not to. And that's upsetting. I mean, it is. The Orioles, they want to be like the Orioles. They want to be like the Rays. They want to be like some of these other teams here who have just built through the draft and had their young players come up. And then when they turn 26, 27, they end up going somewhere else, or they trade them, or they do what they do. Same thing they did with Mookie Betts and those guys in 2018. After they all got to their 26th season and wanted money and got out of arbitration. I mean, it's pretty transparent, I think, what they're doing. And I don't know. I mean, there could be some good years in there. They could even have a deep playoff run in there. But I don't think that supplementing the roster and really bringing in the rebar that you need to compete is something that's at the front of their mind. I think they're all about the youth movement right now, and that's it.
Well, we talked about the guy in the first segment who could even test this, Tyler O'Neill.
Yep.
Is going to be looking for a contract that's a raise. I think he's making 5 point something I had on here. And his agent, I didn't know this, Boris Korp.
Aha.
So you got a guy coming off a 30 home run season. Then that Boris will have a binder that tells you why his RBIs were low. It wasn't his fault. He really had a season in which he should have had
5.85 he's making.
Yeah. He's going to be looking for a raise, I would assume.
I would imagine,
30
yes.
home runs. Next year, probably
it's usually what you get,
like threefold, at least threefold. He's got to be making the high teens next year, right?
I would think so, yeah. Or he'll be asking for that, yeah.
Right? And that's going to be a test. Do you keep him around? It works here. He seems to be successful here. He had a slump, but through the slump, he got to 30 home runs. It still reached the finish line with an impressive season.
Trevor Story's making 22. Yoshida's making 18-6. So, like, yeah, he's going to want more than
five. He should.
He's going to want probably more than either of those guys. That's
so
what
he
I would
plays.
Yeah.
Even though he gets banged up at times, he plays more than Story, and he's more valuable than Yoshida because guess what? He can actually play in the field. Last night he may have played a part in that ball that Story booted.
He did.
That should have been his ball.
Did you hear Jim Rice after the game?
No, what did
Rice
he say?
After the game was like, man, he's like, it's a good thing that he hit that home run. Otherwise, everyone would have been talking about that ball he booted, and everyone was like, well, yeah, but he hit the home run.
They did hit the home run, and then they flashed the lights, and then they squirted him with water, and he doesn't.
The Orioles didn't even score on that either.
It was a whole big thing.
Yeah, they didn't. No.
They didn't even end up scoring.
But it was still ugly. It was still ugly.
It was an ugly play, sure. It wasn't a good-looking play.
He's not exactly a smooth sailor.
He's a bit of a plumber out there, that's for sure.
And a plumber?
But yeah. But listen, that doesn't mean – and also, there's the whole outfield is going to be stacked with these young guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole thing here with Rafael
and
Anthony
in center,
and everybody
Duran's
else.
In left, and you have a great outfield.
They're all going to be out there. Where do you put Tyler O'Neill?
I would DH him, but you get a DH who makes $22
million.
Got about
million three DHs on this team already, yeah.
Okay, so it's not ideal.
Him and Yoshida. Yoshida and Devers combined make almost $50 million.
Did you just talk yourself into letting him walk? Letting the one guy who's right-handed who hits 30 home runs walk?
I don't know. I don't know if those guys are going to be ready, if these young players are going to be ready to come up and give you 30 home runs. And I also don't know exactly what his situation is going to be health-wise. Tyler O'Neill's, and this is what they're going to be talking about. These are when they sit down and decide, what are we going to do with Tyler O'Neill? These are the pros and cons that they're going to weigh. And I'll tell you one thing. If he's asking for $20 million, they're going to talk themselves out of it. They're going to say, this guy can't stay healthy. We have a great outfield. We don't need to re-sign Tyler O'Neill. We'll just wait for Roman Anthony and all these other guys to come up, and that'll be our outfield, and Tyler O'Neill can take a walk. I guarantee you, that's the side that's going to prevail in this conversation.
I feel like you just talked yourself into moving on from
Tyler. I'd definitely keep Tyler O'Neill.
Where are you playing him?
I'd play him in the outfield. And I'd say these young kids, you know, when you're ready to come up and contribute like this, then you can do that. But right now we have a proven guy, a proven Fenway Park right-handed power hitter, and we're going to stick with him until we know for sure that you're ready. And then if they're ready, they come up, and they can't be denied, you trade them away. But I would definitely sign him and pay him, yes.
So what does your outfield look like?
Outfield is Duran, O'Neill, Rafaela, or some combination of Rafael and Anthony, something like that. You don't have to keep everybody, you know. Like,
no, I know.
You can move people around in the
offseason. We fall in love with our players, and you fall in love with certain guys. Like, have you fallen in love with Abreu?
I like Abreu.
Have you fallen in love with Duran?
Yes.
Because we had that question 2 weeks ago. Somebody wanted to trade him. Like, yeah, you can probably get more for him now. It's peak value for Jaron Duran. And I kind of poo-pooed it. But the way you're talking, maybe that makes sense. Do you have a little bit of a logjam there? And I wouldn't.
I think you have a definite logjam there, with or without Tyler O'Neill. I mean, that's something they're going to have to figure out. But the point is,
who's playing short?
Whatever you end up doing, it could be Rafaela playing short or Trevor Story. He's signed for, what, 2 more years?
What about Mayer?
I don't know. Is Mayer going to be healthy?
Are you trading him? Probably can't trade him because now he's hurt. His value would be down, right?
Yeah.
With a bad back?
Trevor Story has an opt-out after next year. And if he opts in, then he's going to be here till 2027 at the latest. So, yeah, I mean, there's your shortstop right there.
I just feel like we're in a weird position of we think this team needs an injection of talent in certain areas, and then we're like, but there's too many guys. Well, do you have guys or do you not have guys? It feels like you don't have guys at certain spots.
At certain spots, you don't. And you definitely don't in the starting rotation. Like, I still think that your starting rotation needs a big guy in the top of it.
Sure.
And I would like for them to do that. And if that means having to trade some of your excess outfielders, I mean, this is what you do in the majors. This is the way that you balance a roster. It's not splitting the atom here.
It doesn't just have to be your excess major league roster. It can be your prospects.
Sure.
And that's where you go down the Dombrowski road. Trade the right ones so that we follow them from afar and go, he never really panned out, huh? That was a good trade for the Sox when they got X in return for 2 prospects, 3 prospects.
Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the phone number.
You did.
I thought you were going to
stumped him there.
Let's continue with our Red Sox talk here. The Red Sox, 5 games under .500 at Fenway Park. Red Sox fans, what the hell? What's going on? Why is there no home field advantage anymore for this team? We'll discuss that next.
The Greg Hill Show.
You like Chapel Roan?
Chapel Roan?
That's Greg's pink pony.
Like Claire. How old are you? Yeah.
I act like I'm...
No, how old are you?
I'm 57.
Ooh. I don't.
What did this turn into?
No. I'm saying it's just different.
Did you miss something? Listen to the podcast on the Odyssey app or at WEEI.com. The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10 on New England Sports Original. WEEI. WEEI.
I've never heard this before in my life.
779-7937 is the phone number. I know they had that in Arrested Development, right? Wasn't it one of the songs in Arrested Development?
I believe it was, but do you know who the artist was? Can you guess who the singer was?
Oh, man. Is it the guy from the Eagles?
Oh, no.
No?
Guy from Kiss, Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley, okay.
Yes.
What was that response? Oh, no.
I hate the Eagles, man. I'm like from the Big Lebowski. I hate the friggin' Eagles.
But you love Kiss, huh?
I love Kiss, of course.
Yeah, why not? I didn't know that was that was him. That's a good song. And yeah, I think it was when Michael and Steve Holt were training for like the Olympics, for the school Olympics. Live to Win was the song.
Precisely.
Was
yep.
In the back there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Which is that was a great scene.
I was anyway. So shocked seeing you lip sync to that, like Beyond the Glass here. I was shocked that anybody knew that. I just thought it was cool because Pavetta was talking about winning and
yeah, he was. And listen, the Red Sox don't win a lot of games at Fenway Park. We've been there. We're at Fenway all the time. And we usually set up a game and talk about a game that they don't end up winning because for some reason, and I think there's some baseball reasons for it too, but I'm not interested in the baseball reason. They don't have great right-handed hitting. We know that. The reason why I think that they don't have a winning record at Fenway anymore is something that Alex Cora talked about earlier this year at the old show. He mentioned this. He's like, I don't know. Fans don't seem the same anymore. You know, it doesn't seem like they're quite as dug in. It doesn't seem like they're quite as engaged. It doesn't seem like they're, you know, living and dying with every pitch anymore. And I think that's a real problem. I understand. It's not like the ownership group here is giving you a whole bunch to cheer about. And these off seasons come and go. And I think fans generally are disappointed by the way that they play out. But that's no excuse to give away a home field advantage like the one Fenway Park used to have. And there used to be a real one there, no question. And it's gone.
When you say used to, when do you think the used to is referencing? What time frame?
The last time I remember even feeling like there was a shred of a home field advantage was that run at the end of 2021, those games against the Yankees in that series.
Okay, but modern
times. Prior to that, I'd say late teens, late 2010s.
Okay, but we're not going all the way back to the early 2000s when you were legitimately chasing a championship for 86 years and that whole
live and die
mentality. You believe it's existed more recently than that?
Absolutely.
So then why would it be gone now?
I don't know.
Because I agree with you. I don't think it's the same.
I think that the fans have sort of reflected the energy that ownership's putting out there is what I think it is. You
That's
know, all right, well, if you don't care about this team, if you're not going to invest, we're not going to invest either. We'll come to the game, sure, and it's fine. We'll bring the kids, and we'll all have a nice little time at the ballpark. But it's not going to be the same diehard fans. Some of them might be getting priced out, too, although lately it doesn't seem like these tickets are too much. But I think, in general, that's sort of what it is. I don't think that there's the same kind of urgency being reflected from the fans to management.
I
think that's a real
problem. And I don't think it's just the philosophy, I guess. It's the results of the philosophy. And were there any of the starting pitchers this year that you would have circled going into the season like, oh, I want to try to figure out the schedule so I can see X? Maybe Bayo? Maybe?
Maybe.
And that's a bit of a stretch for me.
Bayo wasn't great last year.
No.
You know, he wasn't like he was must-see
TV last year.
But he
was the young next Pedro. They signed the contract, the whole thing.
I didn't think Houck was going to be as good as he is. But
he
even he's not can't miss his starts, right? Like, yeah.
And I think when you don't have pitchers like that, and then when you combine that with a lineup that coming into the season, obviously there's always going to be Devers. But I don't know that Devers has connected with people. That's that other aspect, face of the franchise. He does not have the passion. I've always believed of the three,
mm-hmm.
he had the least passionate following. I think that Mookie Betts and
Benintendi?
No, Bogarts,
okay.
had more passionate fans than
I'd agree with that.
Devers does.
I'd agree with that.
So if you don't
I think
have,
they were both more approachable.
They connected with fans. Jerseys, kids, fans, like the whole dynamic of it. I think sometimes, quite honestly, now, part of the reason people will buy a Devers jersey is it's like, well, who else are you going to buy?
Right.
You're not picking Devers over Betts or over Bogarts or over Chris Sale or over, you know, Roger Clemens, whatever, the other stars of the time. It's almost like he's really the only one I kind of feel comfortable buying. I know he's going to be here for a while. I know he's going to be a pretty good player. I may not love him, but I'll invest in his jersey. So I think the lack of passion comes from the lack of known commodities to root for, cheer for, you know, try to figure out, oh, we're down two heading into the eighth,
right.
Is Devers going to get up? Is Mo Vaughn going to get up? Is who, you know, Ramirez and Ortiz, are they going to get a chance to win this? Like, it's fun. And I'm not saying they haven't won, but the anticipation isn't there. And I think the anticipation in some ways creates that atmosphere.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's a big part of it. And a lot of times it just has to do with, you know, landing a big stud starter.
Yes.
That's sometimes all it takes. And a lot of times they go out and do that, and that leads to World Series championships. We talked about this. Curt Schilling in 04, Josh Beckett and Dice K in 07, and then you had 2018 with David Price and Chris Sale, who were all major acquisitions. 2013's kind of the outlier there, but you had Lester and Buchholz, and, you know, you filled in around those guys, and you did trade for Peavy that year, so it wasn't like you had nothing, but you didn't go out and make that big splashy move in the offseason. Either way, you know, John Lackey, like there was other examples of guys you brought in here, and generally it's led to positive results. Not every time, and I don't count Giolito. I mean, I just don't. I think that you need to aim a little higher than that. You need to go for a bigger
name. Does anybody
name.
Count Giolito?
No. I mean, he was a couple years ago considered a pretty good pitcher.
Yeah. But didn't last year he lead the league in home runs allowed?
He was brutal last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to get excited about that. I'm supposed to get buzz about that. I would argue the same thing about Trevor Story.
Yeah.
They remember the John Henry. You don't think that's a big contract? Well, yeah, it is a big contract, but I don't think he's a star. I don't think he moves the needle. I don't think anybody loves him. Yoshi, same thing. How could you love him? You didn't know him, right? Like, he's an import, quite literally an import. So even some of their most expensive players, their $20 million a year players, there's no connection. There's no buzz. There's no desire to see those guys. And then you mix in other factors. I do think there's some modern factors of, you know, being there to be seen and take an Instagram photo and put it on Snapchat and do all these various things.
Trying to catch a glimpse of the Section 10 podcast guys, you know, like you see them walking around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's it, but I think there are other interests.
That's why,
that's why
I go to games.
Because I actually feel the opposite. From my perspective, I don't know the games you've been of late. I actually find myself more invested in the baseball game because of the timing rules and the way the game proceeds.
Yeah, you
than
can't
I
miss
used
anything.
To.
It's true.
In the old days, I would kind of look around, see what's going on. Are there any hot chicks in the crowd?
Yeah.
Is there a drunk guy I can keep an eye on to make fun of later? And now it's like the game moves at a pace where I'm more focused on the actual field.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way about that, and I think that's been, for some people anyway, I don't know if it's working for everybody, but I think that the pitch clock has definitely improved the experience in that regard. But it doesn't change the fact that Red Sox fans, I'm sorry, got to step it up a little bit here.
But the team has to step it up, too. You were like,
franchise,
I don't want to talk about on-field stuff. No, I'm talking about this year. Make less errors at home. Hit some home runs at home. They've picked up Tyler O'Neill doing his part.
He's the only one, but yes.
Because I know that's where Cora met. Remember when we asked him 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whenever we asked him that at Fenway, and he was like, yeah, everybody points to the defense, but nobody cares about, we haven't got any right-handed bats that hit home runs at home.
It's like, no, we've pointed to that, too.
Right. I mean,
we've been pointing at that pretty hard.
Those are legit factors.
Yeah.
In addition to maybe the crowd. But early in the year, I didn't look at it. Early in the year, this was a common thing. There were more teams in baseball that had worse home records than you would have expected.
Yes, I
think it may have leveled out as the year went on a little bit, but so maybe it's a baseball wide thing too.
Yeah, certainly could be. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll talk some Patriots as there's a big report from Andrew Callahan in the Herald today about the defense. All the money's still on Seattle -3.5, and we've talked about what a win would mean for the Patriots. What's a loss mean this weekend? We'll get into all of that right after this.
Tonight. Sox and Yankees. The Mass Mutual pregame show with Joe Wiles starts at 6:15. First pitch, 7:15 on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network.